Data, of course, is everything. How many F-150 trucks did Ford build this year? What is the patient's heart rate and blood pressure? Where can we find rice and curry at this time of night? The iPhone in your back pocket is filled with data and searching for more. How does that data get organized so you can find it when you need it? Machines do a lot of that work, but people working in collaboration with other people and other machines make the data-driven world go around. The modernization of data estate is one function that Microsoft Azure has been able to achieve efficiently, making organizational data management easier, faster, and delivering high performance. Azure Databricks is an important part of Azure data estate. Microsoft Most Valuable Professional, Dinesh Priyankara, is joining with me today to discuss about Azure Databricks. What is Azure Databricks?
Okay, so let me explain Azure Databricks like this. Now, we can, if you really look for the exact definition, I can say that it is an Apache Spark-based analytical platform. It's purely for data processing. But if you really want to understand it simply, it's a cloud-based analytical platform which can be used for processing data. But when I say processing data, I want to highlight this part. It is not just for processing a small set, like if you have to process 100 records, 1,000 records, even 100,000, 500,000 records, this is not the environment. But if you really want to get a very large amount of data process, this is what you have to use. I need to add one more thing on that, because we really consider that Spark is the best data processing environment or engine. If you really compare with the other data processing engine we have now. So Azure has taken it. It is completely integrated with Azure, and it's a first-party service. So you can use Apache Spark-based analytical platform within Azure. That's why we call it as Azure Databricks.
Right. Why do we need Azure Databricks? Any specific usage?
Let me share some of my experience. Like, I've been designing data warehouse solution for last 15 years or 16 years. So initially we started with on-prem servers. If you really focus on Microsoft platform, we have been developing BI data warehouse solution using Microsoft SQL Server. We didn't have much records because we were always working with data that is really comfortable for us. So we were able to handle the data processing part using traditional database management system. We were working with relational databases. We used DSQL and some other additional components that were available with SQL Server. But nowadays, it is not something like that. You have to connect with all type of data, whether you are comfortable with or not. You have to work with all type of data. For that, sometimes if you try to use on-prem servers, the standard on-prem servers rather than going for clusters, you will not be able to process data as you want. Sometimes you will not be able to handle at all. Considering that fact, if you have a distributed environment, which can be used for first thing, storing data in a distributed manner and get the data processed in a distributed manner, that's where you see the usage of Databricks. I can take Databricks and I can create the environment with multiple nodes. You can assume that it's multiple machine. So I have a large amount of data to be processed, and then I can simply create my instruction set and I can pass that instruction set to all these nodes saying, this is how I want to get my data processed. So we are talking about distributed processing. So if I use Databricks, I can easily get these clusters, or in simple terms, multiple machines created, up and running within a couple of minutes. And then I can get my data processed easily using Databricks. This is where you see the usage. There are multiple multiple ways of using Azure Databricks. Not just for data warehousing scenario. You can use this for many other things, but this is what you basically see.
Can you highlight some features or facilities that are really helpful for businesses?
Okay, so this is an environment for processing data, just like the other processing environment. But there are some main features, the key features that are really helpful for us. One thing I see is auto scaling. Now, assume, Prabhat, you need to get a data set processed. You know about it. you know that like at the end of the day, you are getting about 5 million data set, 5 million records, and you have a good idea on the spec you want. So you can create your cluster ready for these 5 million records and then get the data process whenever it is available. But assume that this is completely dynamic. You know, time you get 5 million, sometimes you get 10 million, and sometimes you get much more, you know, a large number of records than 5 million. So when we do not know the exact amount of data and the complexity related to the instruction set you have added, like you can say, okay, I want to get this data, connect with something else, you know, apply some business logic. Likewise, you might be having a very complex business logic as well. So when you have something like that, it's very difficult to determine the exact spec you want. So this auto scaling in Azure Databricks allows you to configure your Databricks environment, saying that, okay, the minimum number of nodes, or in simple terms, machines I want is something like 4. Maximum is 16, but don't use 16 unless it is required. So Databricks environment is intelligent enough to determine whether now we need 4 or more, but it will not allocate more than 16 or based on threshold we have set. So that's really a good feature because we don't waste money. Like, you know, we can simply use what we want and we'll be paying for what we have used. That's fine. Other thing is there's something called auto-terminate as well. Once a cluster is created, whether you use it or not, since cluster is up and running, you have to continue to pay. Okay, so I cannot say that it is really, really cheap. You'll be paying some good amount to Azure if you use Azure Databricks. But what if you can say that, okay, no one is using your cluster, wait for 1 hour, check and see. If no one is using, shut it down automatically. So that's also really a good feature. Other than that, there are some you know, additional features too, but I see these two as key things when it comes to Azure Databricks.
I want to process my data. Do I have to use SQL or can I use any language I want to use or I like to use?
Okay, so I'll answer that question in a different way. Now, I've been working with SQL platform for years, right? All of a sudden, everyone started talking about unstructured data, and all smart business users, they don't want to just stick into the standard data coming from relational database. They want to work with some other data sets as well. So being a DBA or database engineer or database administrator, I have to use some other technologies for doing some you know, data processing. We didn't have something called Databricks initially. We have to go for, even we didn't have cloud environment. So we have to stick into on-prem. And we actually started with Hadoop. Now, unfortunately, Hadoop started with Java. Right, so you have to write Java codes. I know how to write Java codes, but you know, this is something we always experience. Like we have been writing codes with SQL. All of a sudden, we have to use some other language for processing data. So we were hit with that issue. But nowadays, you can see that database engineer or data engineer cannot just limit himself for SQL. You have to use some other languages for processing data. Good thing with Azure Databricks, if you want to continue with SQL, yes, you can. Okay, because this is something, something comes with Spark. You can code with SQL. You can do everything possible. There are some limitations, but you can do certain implementation with SQL. But if you like to do your data processing using some other language, something like Python, R, you can actually use those languages too. So it supports Scala, it supports R, it supports SQL, it supports Python. So you have multiple languages and you can use the preferred one. So yes, the answer is yes and no. You can continue with SQL, but you might get hit with some limitation. In that case, you have to go for other languages. So in my case, I do you know, coding with all three languages, SQL, Python, and Scala.
Okay. Dinesh, would you be able to take us through a quick demonstration on Databricks?
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to share my screen. It will take some time for getting this cluster created and make sure it is up and running. So because of that, I have already created a cluster and it is up and running. But I'll show you the way of creating it, and I'll execute a small code and show you how we can actually use Databricks for processing data. Right. I'm going to share my screen now. Now, I have already created a storage, which is Data Lake storage. Let me open my Storage Explorer. And if I expand my one of the storage accounts, so this is what I'm going to use. I have a storage account called NSQL Test Storage. Inside that, I have one container called Data. And this data container has a folder called Native Data. Inside it, I have multiple folders like Call Data and Master Data. Okay, I'll take you through some of the data sets that have been added to this folder. But this is my storage environment. Assume that I'm getting data sets every day or every hour into this storage. I want to get those data set processed and then push it to one of my destination. So my destination can be SQL Server database, SQL Server data warehouse, or some other destination, some other data store. Now, if the data set is really high, we might not be able to use standard on-prem servers for processing data. So the good, what we have to do is we have to use a cluster which supports multiple nodes for getting data processed in a distributed manner. So I'll show you the way of getting this data process using distributed manner, and I'm going to use Azure Databricks. So how do you start with Azure Databricks? You have to go to your portal and look for Databricks. Now, if you have added it to your favorite section, you'll be seeing it. In my case, I have already added, so I can see it. But if you are looking for it, you can click on All Services and search for Databricks. It should you should see it like this. So I can click on it and get the blade open. You can see I have two Databricks accounts, and I'll be using this one for the demonstration, but I'll show you the way of creating a new account. All you have to do is click on Add and enter a few values. So this is what you have to do. You have to select your subscription and then the resource group. For example, I can select this and give a name for this. I can say my Azure Databricks and select the location. In our case, we have to select Southeast Asia. And the pricing tier, you have standard and premium. Now, how do we decide whether it should be standard or premium? You can say that if you want to go into a sort of role-based execution, if you do not want a security up to that level, you don't need to go for premium. You can simply go for standard. So standard is basically an environment where you can do all type of processing, but there are some limitations. You will not be able to connect it through, for example, AD accounts, and you will not be able to handle role-based security. But if you really want all of these things, you can go for premium. Okay, so you select one of these and then click on review and create. It will create your account. I'm not going to create it because I have already created it. So let me close this and open one of the accounts I have already created. So I'm going to open this. So this is your workspace. Once the account is created, this is your workspace. So I can click on launch workspace and it will open a portal which I can use for configuring my environment, writing codes for processing data, creating clusters, setting up certain values. Okay, you should be able to see my environment now. Yes, right. Now, these are the section in Azure Databricks environment. So the first thing we have to do is create a cluster. So this is your workspace. Initially, it has no clusters. So you can get your cluster created. It will take some time, like a couple of minutes, not like 15, 20 minutes. In most cases, within 2 to 5 minutes, you can get your cluster created. So if you want to get a new cluster created, you can go for clusters and click on create cluster. You can see I have already created the cluster, which is cluster 01. It is running with this spec. Let me open the form and show you the way of creating the cluster. So I can name this as cluster 2. and I have two modes, high concurrency and standard. So based on the requirement you want, you you can use, for example, if your cluster is going to be used by multiple concurrent users, it's always better to use high concurrency, otherwise standard is fine. But if you go for high concurrency, again, there are some limitations, even though you get facilities for getting concurrent connection smoothly executed. One limitation with high concurrency is you will not be able to write codes with Scala language. Okay, there are some more. You can refer Azure Docs for more details, but let me select standard. And we don't need to worry about the pool. It is always better to use the latest Databricks version. And these are the two features I explained with one of your questions, auto scaling and terminate after 120. So if I disable auto scaling, you can see that I can set number of nodes I want, but it's just one setting. But if I select this, you can see min and max. So this Databricks environment will try to process my data using two workers, but if it needs more, it can go up to 8. So what I'm saying is I can spend my money up to 8 nodes. Okay, that's what I'm saying, but try your best to stick into 2 nodes. Okay, right. And if you go through this drop down, you can see various type of specification for all these nodes. If I'm doing a standard data processing, you might go through general purpose, but there are different types of specification like memory optimized, storage optimized, GPU accelerated. For example, if you're going to do some machine learning or the data science experiment, specifically on videos, audios, you have to use GPU accelerated specification. But in our case, we can simply use the standard one. In addition to that, there are advanced options. You might have to go through advanced option, specifically if you try to make sure that AD authentication works with this. But other than that, this is all you have to submit. You select it, click on create cluster. Your cluster is getting created within a couple of minutes. Okay, right. I'm not going to create it because it has been already created and it's up and running. So let me show you how to connect with my Azure data lake and process data. I'll show you a very simple code just to manage the time. But if you have any question, we can discuss either through the video or we can go through the comments and we can answer those comments later. So if I go for home, I can see my folder. If I want, I can create some additional folders as well. Let me open this file. But before that, if I want to create a new code, this is what I have to do. Click on your folder, go to create and select notebook. When I go to notebook, it will ask the name for this, my test notebook. I can name like that and I can select the language. Now the good thing with this Azure Databricks environment is I can select the language as Python, so I can write codes in Python, but anytime I can write codes using other languages as well. You'll be seeing it. And if there's a cluster, I can select it and I can say click create, and this is my notebook, so I can write codes. So initially I selected as Python, so that's why you see as Python notebook, and you can write Python codes. So let me open one of the codes I have already written, something called create database. So this is a notebook for SQL, that's why you see SQL. So I can write SQL statement, so I'm familiar with SQL. I can write SQL statement, I can create a database within my Databricks workspace or the cluster. So if I execute this, I can get my code executed. So I should see my database. If I go to data, this is the database I just created, but no tables. And you can see it has a default database as well. Okay, so let me open another code, something like this. So this is the code for connecting with my data lake. We don't have time for explaining each and every line I have written. Basically, I'm using service principle for connecting with my Azure data lake. So this is the data lake container I have. If I go for data section, native data, and then I have master data, and it has a file called caller accounts. So if I want to connect with my environment, I'm going to use this app registration or the service principle. This is my secret. And I'll be deleting this secret later. So it doesn't matter whether you see it or not. So let me execute that code. It will create the Spark context. Once the context is available, then I can access my data lake. Right, so the code got executed, no errors. So I can list out all the files, but rather than executing this, let me execute this one. So this code looks for a files called call accounts in the native data master data folder. If I go to my storage, this is the file. So this is how you read it. I can create a data frame and then I can check for it. So if I execute this, it should connect with my Azure data lake. It should connect with this file and I should be able to see it as a table. So you can see there are multiple Spark jobs are running and this is what I have. So likewise, I can connect with my block storage and get the data as I want and process. Whether you have one file or whether you have thousands of files, it doesn't matter. As long as you have the capacity for processing data, you can get them processed. You can create internal table. Sometimes we call them as managed table. I can create external tables. I can create a table connecting with the file in the data lake. That's going to be an external table. Or I can bring data into my environment and create a managed table. So there are, you know, supports like that in Databricks. Okay, so let me show you another notebook I have created. I'm not going to run that notebook, but I'll take you through the code I have written. So I have a one called process CDR records. So just like the previous one, I create the context using this code. So my Databricks environment can connect with Azure Data Lake. Then see this code, I'm connecting with all the files in this folder. So since this supports any type of language, you can use your preferred language and write the codes as you want. In this case, this is Scala. So I connect with all the files in this folder and then create. So this schema will be placed on top of the cell set coming from this. In addition to that, let me show you another code. Let me scroll down. So you can see I'm connecting with multiple sources. This is the data source I have created. Sorry, this is a data frame I have created within my notebook, and this is a table I have created inside my database. So likewise, I can combine results coming from multiple environments and process my data, apply my business logics, and then later I can get the results, send it back to the data lake if I want, or send that result set to any destination, something like Azure Data Warehouse. So it's a very quick demo, but we can discuss this more in detail with a very complex demonstration later. So I hope I gave you some sort of idea on the Databricks.